Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watt for Jack Watt's Live, broadcasting to you from Midtown, Atlanta, Georgia, from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower, overlooking majestic Buckhead, where the sky is dark, gray, and ominous. Somewhat reminiscent of the political atmosphere in the United States of America at this moment. We have a lot to talk about today. Before we really get started, I'm going to make a little announcement here. I just want to talk a little bit. This reminds me, this time in our history, reminds me of what it was like during the Vietnam War. People had beliefs. They had passion for what they wanted, for what they thought was right. Whether you agreed with them or not, people were engaged and were involved. We, as a nation, faced the most critical election of my lifetime, and I've lived a while. And people are paying attention, finally. Why are they paying attention? Well, the main reason, if you ask me, is the current administration of Barack Hussein Obama, his policies, his appeasement and apology to Islam, while saying that he is the best president we have ever had for Israel, while at the same time saying that it is the perspective of the United States of America that Israel should retreat to its pre-1967 borders, which means that the Israelis would have to give up the Golan Heights, and they would be indefensible to the onslaught of the Arabs and the Palestinians and the Iranians and the Syrians and the Egyptians. You know what? People in America know that's just a crock. It's wrong. And we have stood by Israel since 1948, since day one, recognizing their sovereignty. They are our primary ally in the Middle East. And as much as they want to repudiate what Mitt Romney is saying about our foreign policy today, he's right, and Barack Hussein Obama and his minions of sycophants are wrong. The American people are paying attention to it, finally. Now, there's a lot more stuff. I'm going to bring on my brother, as I do quite frequently, and just say, Richard, are you available?
I'm always available, John. You know that.
Yes, we like to hear, we like that, and we like to hear it. All right, listen. This is some really interesting stuff is going on, and of all of the things that are happening, I think what I like the best is what's happening in the polls. As you know, these polls have been weighted in the model that they're using, that they are assuming the same kind of turnout in 2008, this year, that was happened in 2008, when there was such euphoria for Barack Hussein Obama. The African American vote was very high, as was the voting for young people and Hispanics, and anticipate the same kind of enthusiasm.
Kind of lost his luster a little, hasn't he?
Well, he doesn't have much enthusiasm.
No.
But now, well, let's put it this way. He has a tremendous amount of negative enthusiasm. I would think, even though it's not a presidential model, that what happened in 2010 is far more likely to be the case than 2008. Let me give a perfect example. You live in Massachusetts, isn't that correct?
I sure do.
Now, Massachusetts isn't a state that's in play. Your vote doesn't count for anything. Is there anything in the world that would keep you from going and voting for Mitt Romney over Barack Obama in 29 days?
Absolutely nothing.
I agree. And you know what? I think that that is the case all over America. Now, I want to say something else. And this is a pretty fair admission for me. My like of Mitt Romney has been based on one thing and one thing only. He is not Barack Hussein Obama. You know, they have all of these things of the empty chair. I'd rather vote for an empty chair than Barack Obama. There isn't anything that would make me vote for Barack Obama. That is how bad I believe this man is for our nation. But after this debate, my perception has changed a little bit. I like Mitt Romney. I think he's going to do a good job. I think he hit. I'll tell you what, he understands the economy. When Obama challenged him and said, all right, you're giving these broad things, but you aren't giving all of the specific. And Romney said, "This, you know, I didn't see any of the pundits talk about this, but I think we're going to a little bit." He said, well, I have the basic principles, and then I have some things that I like, and there's some other things that probably wouldn't. But that's what you sit down at the negotiating table with the other side.
That's what he did
in
Massachusetts.
I had 87% Democrats that I had to negotiate to do anything. I had to get
Absolutely.
Along with the other side to win some. Well,
he got a lot done here.
Yes. This is something, this is Ronald Reagan-esque. He said, okay, this is where we are. And this is where we need to go, and these are the basic things we need to do to get there. Everything else is negotiable. Let's sit down and work it out and figure out a way to make it happen. And there were people who said, no, we're not going to do this, that, and the other. And Reagan ended up getting most of his way. He didn't get everything he wanted, but that is what politics is all about, is getting some of the things that you want, most of the things that you want.
Give and take.
We have to attack this deficit. We can't go on like this.
No.
All right. And, you know, Obama is talking now, okay, well, the jobs report is at 7.8%, which, frankly, I do not believe at all. But, isn't it sad that if there's some good news that comes out, that the very first thing that you think about is what's he doing, and it isn't credible, and I don't believe it, and
somebody cooked the book somewhere. That's the feeling.
Yes, and I don't know that that's true, but I do know this.
It just seems rather timely, though, don't you think?
Oh, boy, that's the
way
whole deal.
Too timely. Yeah.
That's the whole deal.
This next month would be, 2 days before the election or something? So
I mean, it's got to be able to permeate. It's got to set in for people to think that he's doing something other than cooking.
This is the last jobs report that will have any kind of traction before the election. The next one will come out maybe a day or two before, but, you know, most people, I mean, this gives it a little time to settle in. Well, he's doing great. He's making profit. Well, listen, 7.8% is abysmal. For our nation to be really in real recovery, it needs to be in the fives. That's a lot. I mean, that's huge difference. Huge difference. But
well,
know,
there's
not.
There's never been a president elected that had unemployment at 8 or above. So I think they took that piece of information and said, you know, maybe we better do something with that. And let's do it for, how about October? Now, Jack Welch, who was the CEO of General Electric up here in between Mass and New York, is saying pretty much the same thing, that there's just no way that number could have fallen by 3/10. It's just not feasible at all.
Yeah. Four-tenths. It was 8.1, like 9.6 or something like that. So it was right at 8.2. Even MSNBC, that, you know, is in a rather substantial relationship with Barack Obama, carrying his water, is something that, I mean, they were saying, this is just not possible. This isn't, you know, and yet,
Their credibility for the media has gone to hell in a handbasket, too. People just don't believe what they say anymore. So some of these people are finally saying, you know what, I think we better start telling the truth. Otherwise, we won't have any following at all.
Well, you know, there were 65 million people that watched the debates. The number one network was Fox Cable that they watched it on. After that was NBC, ABC, and CBS. So the Fox Cable network, fair and balanced, got the number one thing. I mean, for cable to outdo network is unheard of.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't put the Super Bowl on cable. You put it on the network. And, you know, one of the three. And this is an indicator of how much people trust the mainstream media. They don't trust them at all. Now, we were talking about the whole idea of Romney, and there he was after there has been nearly $200 million painting him as an elitist, painting him as someone only interested in the rich, painting him as somebody that is completely out of touch. And he stood there in front of 65 million Americans and seemed to me like he was completely in touch. And here, let me just say one other thing about this. I've got 5 children, as you know. There's no way to be an elitist when you've got 5 kids. If there's anything that children do, it's they humble you. And five boys. I mean, do you remember when you and I were little boys and our father would go out of town and you know, we would drive our mother so to distraction that she'd be in tears and just say, wait until your father gets home? Don't you remember? And we'd laugh. And there were just two of us.
Yeah, but we didn't laugh when he finally came home.
No, we didn't laugh when Father got home. And my guess is those 5 boys of his didn't laugh when Father got home either. All of that seems to me as if it's very characteristic of them painting him as something that he was not, and the American people took a look and said, whoa, there's nothing wrong with this guy. He knows what he's talking about. Obama doesn't.
He seemed very presidential, too, didn't he?
He definitely seemed presidential, which brings me to the next thing. The polls, which had been going steadily against Romney, a little by little by little, have turned around. Now, the ones that have been taken since the debate, which are the only ones that have any validity now, because everything has changed. That was a game changer. Now, Romney is 2 points ahead in Florida, 1 point ahead in Virginia, several points ahead in North Carolina, and less than 1% behind in Ohio. Now, Ohio's still the key. But I've done a little bit of finagling here with the electoral map. As you know, there is no national election. It doesn't mean a thing.
No.
The 50 votes for each state, and then, you know, there's something for the Dominican Republic, and I think, and also for Washington, D.C., but you need 270 electoral votes. And Obama was in the 260s before the debate, which meant he was there and was odds on favorite. Now, given this new polling information, I'm thinking that he's not going to, that Obama's not going to recapture the momentum in either Florida, North Carolina, or Virginia. And those I'm putting as leaning Romney. They have Missouri as if it's a toss-up state, and that's just absolute nonsense. Missouri's going to go for Romney for sure,
mm-hmm.
as I believe is Arizona in the West. Now, that takes a lot of these swing states out of play. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't have to, you know, push pretty hard. But there are a lot of states you don't have to spend any money in. If you're Romney, you don't have to spend anything in Indiana, West Virginia. Could you imagine all those coal miners? There aren't any of them that are going to vote. And those are all Reagan Democrats who mm-hmm. voted for Obama in 2008. There aren't any of them that are going to be voting, for Obama this time. Kentucky, Tennessee, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, and Texas, all of those, the solid South. Now, I think when you add into that Virginia, North Carolina, and Florida, which I believe Romney's going to carry, that and the upper Midwest, and upper Rocky Mountain Midwest and you know, Montana and Idaho, Wyoming, North and South Dakota and Utah, places like that. Romney's close to being able to win this election, but he has to carry Ohio, keep Missouri, Arizona, and Virginia, North Carolina, and Florida, and then one more state, either Nevada, which how in the world people could vote for Obama in Nevada is beyond me. It's got the highest foreclosure rate and highest unemployment rate in the nation. I think that we're I think the tide has changed. People are really looking forward to Ryan debating Biden, thinking that he's going to kill him and that Biden is a buffoon. And I hope that they are not lulled into sleep by that, because Joe Biden is anything but a buffoon. He says some stupid things, but, you know, they all do. He's a sharp man, and he's funny. He's engaging. He doesn't have a narcissistic personality disorder like Barack Obama. You can't tell Obama that he's wrong. He can't handle it.
Mm.
Biden can. Biden's a normal human being. So I think we've got, you know, the tomorrow is going to be a very big night, and then, you know, we've got the other two debates. But I'm thinking if Romney does carry Ohio, I've got him at 266, which just leaves him four short. Which means if he takes even New Hampshire, which may be doubtful, but, you know, it's the one chance in New England. What do you think about that?
Well, I heard here about an hour ago in the news, they were talking about Romney, you know, picking up momentum and whatever. And this national reporter out of Washington mentioned a poll. I think she said Pure, like P-U-R-E, poll.
Pew.
Pew.
P-E-W.
Pew poll. All right. It has Romney ahead by four points.
National.
Which I thought is obviously is a very good sign that the momentum is obviously changed. And I also heard, too, they were talking about all of these different groups like the Hispanics, the blacks, and, you know, back 4 years ago, like the Hispanics were 75% for Obama and like 80% likely to vote. And now it's like they're in the low 60s. And the percentage that are likely to vote is even lower than that. So all of these bases, and same thing in the black community on that same type of scale, are they may be Obama fans, but they're not necessarily going to go and vote because they just aren't you know, they don't have the wherewithal that people like you and I have, saying, yeah, my vote may not count, but I'll be damned if they'll stop me from voting.
There you go. I think that is exactly the perspective that people like, millions of people like us. Now, one other thing. In the African-American community, the black pastors are very much opposed to Obama. Lots of them. And what they're telling people is, I mean, they can't stomach coming out and voting for Romney, but they say, you know, just don't vote. Don't participate. Don't go.
Well, maybe it's catching on.
And the reason that they're so opposed to him is what?
Why are they against? Oh, yeah.
Gay marriage.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit of the Islam feeling that he has versus where they are as Christians.
That's possible, but the overriding thing is his support for gay marriage. He did that to cement the gay, lesbian, and transgender, whatever vote, you know, which is substantial. But he
what do you mean? The number of gay and lesbians in this country?
Huh?
What are you saying? The gay community is a large populace in this country? I heard it's less than 1% of the total people in this country, which seems to me that he turned off more people than he turned on.
I think he did too. But it's much larger than 1%. I don't know that. I mean, probably 5 or 6. I you know what? It's a good question, and we should know the answer since we're broadcasting, but I don't. So let me just go on record as saying I don't know how large that is, but I do know this, that the black pastors, not to a one, but a large group of them, are adamantly opposed to supporting Obama overtly. So they're not getting out the vote. They're not allowing their churches to be the place where, you know, where the Democrats can come and say, you know, we need to do it for the first African-American president. They are just that turned off by his support for homosexual marriage. It is that big a deal. It's much more important in the black community than it is in the white community. And even in the white churches, I mean, you find people in even strong evangelical churches that really just aren't, you know, it's kind of like, well, it's inevitable. I mean, I don't care for it, but, you know, it's not that big a deal. In the African-American churches, it is. And the reason is, you know, that it's being equated as a civil rights issue and, you know, being... It's like, well, they opposed us because we're black. Now they oppose this next group because they're gay. And this is, you know, that isn't something, that's a choice. And there's, you know, there's nothing, you know, there's no moral issue around being black. And there certainly is a moral issue around homosexuality. And I mean, now, there are a lot of people that, you know, that say, well, there's nothing wrong with it. It's, you know, they want to make it normal, but it's not.
No, no.
And the black churches are standing up and saying, no, this is wrong.
Yeah.
Good for them. They're doing a better job than white churches are.
Exactly.
You can't make something, you can't legislate something that's wrong and make it right and that make it right. You can make it legal, but you can't make it right. You can never make something that's wrong right. But that, of course, is what Obama's been trying to do. Now, you know,
is that like our mother saying you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear?
all right. You know, let's go to the energy stuff here.
Wait a minute before you get further into this. Now, tomorrow night you're going to have your religious show predicated on still in the election, is that correct?
Yes, I am, and callers can call in.
Give them their phone number.
326-9949. And you know, we got wound up, and you know, there's we've got we got a minute, and the show's over. We're just kind of getting going. It's too bad that I don't have a couple of hours because we've. Yes, I'd really like to do this. Let me give the number again for tomorrow. 347-326-9949. If you want your free copy of my prayer book, you can download it by going to my website, which is www.jackwatts.me. Most people have .com, but I have .me because it's all about me.
It's all about you.
It's all about me.
We'd love to hear some opposing points of view so that we could set them straight.
That is exactly what we want. At any rate, we're about done, so let me just say this. We have a month. Be strong. Be firm. We have to get out there. We can't let up. Our country is dependent upon us. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.